told you we're going to play tag tonight and for the next several nights, Wednesday nights. Take your Bible, turn to Mark 16. Tremendous, Brother Josh, tremendous. We're going to change subjects. I'm going to talk to you tonight about something that I want you to take personally. Say, is this for me? Yes. Say, well, I'm not. I'm a teenager. I'm a child. It's for you. I'm an adult. It's for you. It's for everybody. I want you to notice Mark chapter 16, look at verse number 15. And he, being Jesus, said unto them, go who? Okay, that was weak. Go who?
Ye.
Ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did he said go somebody? No, he said go ye. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Watch this. Go who?
Ye.
Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This will be the last verse I have you turn to right now. Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 8. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But who?
Ye.
Shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon who?
You.
And who?
Ye.
Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the innermost part of the earth. I'm going to call this, go ye. Go ye. The Bible is not some old history book that tells us what was. The Bible, you have to understand, God is the I am God.
Right.
When God came to Moses and Moses said, God, who should I tell Pharaoh hath sent me? He said, tell him, I am hath sent you. Not I was, not I will be, the I am God hath sent you. The ever present God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means the Bible is just as applicable today as it was the day that it was written. Just as the day that it was spoken by God himself, it is the same words of God. Now listen to this very carefully. That means God wants you to take this very personally.
That's right.
It isn't written to the ancient people of years gone by. It's written to ye.
Amen.
And me. We are to personally obey it because we are going to give a personal account of our life before Christ. Brother Scott, I'm not going to give an account for your life. I'll give an account for my life.
Right.
Brother Steve, I'm glad I don't have to give an account for your life. Yeah, we will stand before God ourself. That's why God says, go ye. Now listen to me very carefully. I want you to notice how personal Jesus made it for us. This is to the individual Christian. He said, I want you to get the gospel out. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he said, go ye therefore. Then he said in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, that the Holy Spirit would come upon us and ye shall be witnesses unto me. In other words, he made it to where it's to us personally to go do those things. Don't take this the wrong way. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that ye means you. God said that he paid all the price needed for salvation. It is now up to us as individuals to get the gospel to our fellow man. Now I'm going to make some statements here that if I'm successful, I'll twist some tails here. God did not say, go as a church. He said, go ye.
Right.
He spoke this to individual Christians, not to the church only. He did not say, go if you feel called. He said, go ye. This one's going to get you. He didn't say, go if you feel like you got the gift of soul winning, which there is no such. Did you know it's not a request? Go ye. I don't see a question mark in any of those statements, did you? We all talk about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Did you know go ye is more important than thou shalt not kill? Thou shalt not kill is civil law. Go ye is eternal law. The Ten Commandments have absolutely nothing to do with going to heaven. Has everything to do with being a good citizen. May we remind the politicians of our day. You see, God doesn't say, now listen to this, I'll go when I'm burdened. He said, go ye. He didn't say, go if you feel like it. Amen. I'll promise you, I've gone soul winning more times not feeling like it than I have feeling like it. That's your preacher, just so you know. I have flesh too. God wants you to take this command seriously, and he wants you to take it personally. I have 14 minutes. Let me help you. Number one, Jesus was a personal soul winner. Jesus was a personal soul winner. Do you remember the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3? Nicodemus came unto him and said, Master, what is this about being born again? And Jesus presented the gospel to Nicodemus. He did it one-on-one. Remember, he came to a woman at a well one day, and she said, may I draw water for you? He said, ma'am, I've got water to drink. If you take one drink of it, you'll never get thirsty again. She said, tell me about this water. And he stood there and won her soul, her spirit, to himself. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? You know, the wee little man? It wasn't a wee little fat man, it was just a wee little man. And he was in a tree trying to see Jesus, and he said, Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there? And he said, I couldn't see you for the press of people. He said, well, come down. I'm going to have dinner with you today at your house. The Bible says that he went in and won Zacchaeus and his entire family to Christ. Right. What did he do? He gave them the gospel. Amen. Now, make this statement. Yes, he did preach to multitudes, but he took time to give the gospel one-on-one. I believe in the preaching of the gospel. I'll preach at the drop of the hat and I'll provide the hat. I've preached on street corners. I've preached on L trains in Chicago. I've preached on buses. I've preached in parks. I've preached on, you name it, I've probably done it. I've preached in bars. I've preached in jails. I've preached in hospitals. I've preached at funeral homes. There's not many places I haven't gone to where I haven't preached. And when I preach the gospel. But may I say this, I've won far more people to Christ knocking on the door and talking to them. I'm going to make a statement. Everybody that Jesus talked to did not get saved. Matter of fact, one of his disciples was lost and died and went to hell. But he presented the gospel everywhere he went. Jesus, as a man, listen to this statement, showed us the responsibility to take the gospel to our fellow man. Do you know that Jesus led by example in everything that we're supposed to do? Now, he couldn't get saved because he was never lost. But he did start the church, and he joined the church by baptism. He got baptized, and he started the church. Everybody doing okay? He led by example. Jesus led by example in soul winning because he saw a short little man in a tree and said, come down, I'm coming to your house, and won him to Christ. Saw a lady at the well and talked to her about water and gave her the gospel and she got saved. The Bible says he talked to multitudes. Multitudes followed him, but it doesn't say multitudes got saved. They followed him for his miracles. They followed him for his healing. They followed him for what he would do for them physically, but many of them stayed long enough, as he said, because of his compassion, to listen to the gospel, and they would receive it. Now, Jesus did not tell us just to do it. He did it and showed us how to do it. So, Jesus, first of all, was a personal soul winner. Number two, I love you. It is our responsibility to get the gospel out. He said it was our responsibility to present the gospel. Look at Mark 16 again. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and get everybody saved. Is that what it says? Go ye into all the world and wait for people to run up to you and ask you if they could be born again. No. He said, go ye into all the world and what? Do what? Preach the gospel. Get the gospel out. That is our job, folks. He said, go ye and get the gospel to every creature. Now listen to this very carefully. That means get the gospel presented to every creature. He did not and could not command us to have people saved because not everybody he talked to got saved. It is up to the individual receiving the gospel whether they accept it or reject it. God himself, Jesus himself, presented the gospel to people that did not get saved. I'm going to make a statement here that may shock you. John chapter 3 talks about Jesus giving the gospel to Nicodemus, but never once does it say Nicodemus got saved. Think through that. That's that famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not be ashamed. But it never one time says Nicodemus ever got saved. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm just saying it doesn't say that he did. Not every person that Jesus talked to got saved. And God would not command you to do something you could not do. We have the ability to get the gospel to every person we talk to. I believe the more times we present the gospel, the more people get saved. It's the law of averages. Brother Steve, you bow hunt. A couple of you men shoot bow. If you remember when you first started shooting a bow, you had to make sure nobody was around. And you had a big wall behind your target. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? Say why? Because you weren't quite sure where the arrow was going to end up. But now, man, I've got my bow set up that at 30 yards, I can't even shoot. If I shoot three arrows, I have to shoot at three different parts of my target because I start breaking arrows. A couple years ago, I did that and didn't realize I had three arrows that had crisscrossed each other. They were all three real tight. No problem. Except I pulled them out, went back a little farther, and I pulled one back. Brother Steve, I pulled the next one back. I went to let go, and that carbon fiber arrow had been cracked, and I didn't know it. And that thing let loose, and I thought the string snapped on me, and that arrow broke and drove that thing right into my thumb right here. And let me tell you, the whole world was a mess. Oh, that hurt so bad. It still hurts. I still have soreness in my thumb from that. 168 foot-pounds of pressure per square inch with an arrow. Say, what was that? I was having fun. I don't need a big target anymore. Shoot, 30, 40, 50 yards. Put it on just a little. I could shoot arrows in here all day long, right down the aisle, not worry about anything. Say, why? Because I've been doing it long enough. That's exactly what soul winning is. The more you do it, the more proficient you get. The more proficient you get, the more times more accurate you are when the time comes. By the way, There's not a bow hunter alive that every time he's pulled the strings got what he was shooting at. I missed a couple last year. Say, why? I'm a fairly good shot, but you don't get everything you shoot at. Mark chapter 16, verse number 16. He that believeth is baptized, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Notice, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believes will get saved. He that believes not is going to be damned to hell. He placed the responsibility of the receiving of it on those that hear the gospel. It's our job to get the gospel out. We can't make anybody get saved. And I'm going to make a statement here. We can only present the gospel and ask them to respond. Not our job to judge whether they meant it or not. Quit playing God. Who are you to judge? Now, I'm not for, and this is probably not a good term to use, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. I think people need to understand they're a sinner. Because they're sinners, they deserve to die and go to hell. And that there is a real hell because of our sin. Without Jesus Christ paying that price, we go there. But Jesus paid for it. So all we have to do is receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. If they understand that, they're willing to bow their head and trust Christ, whether they say it out loud or not, doesn't matter to me. Guess what? According to the scripture, if they did it and they said they did it, where are they going when they die? And who are you to judge it then? Well, I'm not sure they meant it. Well, folks, if a total stranger knocked on your door talking about a place they had never been to, about a God they had never seen, about a hell that they'd never been to, from a word of God that was spoken by a God that they had never seen, and you go through some verses and they understand what it said and they bow their head, how much more do they have to understand?
Amen.
How much more sincere does one have to be? Salvation is up to the individual, and we can only give them the truth. It's between them and God whether they receive it or not. Now, I'm going to really fry somebody's brain here. We don't need to ask God and beg him to save anybody. I've been in church a long time. I've been in those church meetings where people will beg and pray, oh God, would you please save Junior? Oh God, would you save? And I mean, they scream and holler and moan for weeks about saving Junior. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You don't have to ask God to save them. You can ask God to send somebody their way to give them the gospel that they might listen to. You can ask the Holy Spirit to fill you to where they might listen to you, present the gospel, but you don't have to beg God for them to get saved. He gave them Jesus Christ. Why would you have to beg him to save them?
Amen.
Quit wasting your time begging God for something he told you to go do. Everybody doing okay? Okay, number 3, I got 2 minutes. Learn to be what people need you to be in soul winning. Learn to be what people need you to be in soul winning. Take your Bible. Brother Josh quoted this verse. Jude, it's only one chapter. Go to the book of Revelation and look at the page before it. Jude. We're going to look at 2 verses, and I'm going to teach you something about this that you may have never seen before. Jude, verse 22. Back up to verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now look at me. God says we ought to be kept in his love as we share eternal life. Now look at verse number 22. And of some having compassion, making a difference. Look at me. God said there are some people you're going to have to show extreme compassion with before they'll receive the gospel. But let's look at verse number 23. And others, say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There are some people that They need to see the love of God and the compassion of God as you're out soul winning. I agree with that. They should all see it. By the way, even in verse 23, there should be love involved. I remember soul winning in Indiana. Had one of our deacons with me one night. Came back. There was a bunch of us out soul winning. Brother Joe, you may have even been there. I don't know. We're standing in the parking lot. And there's about five of our guys that have this one guy surrounded. I thought, the poor guy, the vultures are out. And I walked up and one of our men says, "Hey, Brother Bush, this guy thinks he's too bad a sinner to get saved." Well, he was a sodomite. My soul winning partner, he was aggressive. He said, "What do you mean you're too bad of a sinner?" He said, "If you don't get saved, you're going to bust hell wide open and fry like a sausage." Now, saying that to a sodomite, the poor guy almost cringed, you know. I ended up winning the man to Christ, believe it or not. A man came to church, got baptized. I gave him a Bible, told him before he walked into the filthy joints that he was going to, that he needs to sit down outside that place, read his Bible for 15 minutes and pray and ask if God would let him in. Had people coming to the church telling me they saw some crazy guy sitting outside of one of those weirdo joints reading the Bible. But I also watched him walk about a dozen people down the aisle, win them to Christ. Amen. Say, what was it? He needed the fear to pull him out of the fire. There was a brother, Fred, who needed fear. I'd given him all the love, and then he needed a foot up the backside after almost dying three times. It took a little bit of fear. I became what they needed me to become to win them. Doesn't mean you change doctrine. Doesn't mean you change what is right and wrong. But some people need a little extra compassion. You knock on a door and some sweet old lady comes to the door that's in her 90s. You don't need to tell her she's going to fry in hell like a sausage. Not a good thing to do. Say, what is it? They need a little more compassion. I was in South Carolina. I had a couples class I had started. I was training one of my men to be a soul winner, and he took his first solo run. I was so proud of him. But we had a serial rapist in the area. So he knocks on this trailer door. This lady comes to the door. You know, there's two young guys standing on her porch. She's not much. She may have been a little older than I was, but not much. Obviously, she had a kid or two in the house. The husband wasn't home. I thought, take it easy, Mike. Take it easy. Take it easy. And he's doing good at first. And he asked her if she knew for sure she was going to heaven. She said no. And he said, "Well, ma'am," she said, "I think so." He said, "Well, if I had a gun and I pulled it out and I said, stop, 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 stop." That poor lady, she was about ready. I said, "Hold it, ma'am. We're from the church. Trust me. He's learning. He didn't mean what he just said." I said, "Do me a favor. Back up and shut up." Man, I had to calm things down really fast. You say, why? I didn't want the police coming after me. I didn't need to be detained for a while. He needed to learn the compassion instead of the fear. Amen? You see, some need love, some need fear. We need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and let him work through us so that we know what they need. As I go soul winning, I let the Holy Spirit guide me and tell me what that person needs more of or less of. Last Saturday, Brother Juan and I were out, knocked on a man's door, actually didn't knock on it. He was in the garage. Walked up, shook his hand, talked to him for a few moments. Probably about 3 or 4 minutes we talked. And I said, "Doc," I said, "let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" He said, "Be honest with you, not really." And I reached in my pocket and I pulled out that very New Testament. And I opened it up and showed him how he could know for sure he was going to heaven when he died. Standing there beside his lawnmower, bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. Say, what was it, preacher? The Holy Spirit. I didn't have to get hard with the guy. Man, we talked all kinds of different things. I knew certain things that he had in the garage, found something to get along with him on. We talked. He liked me. I liked him. Then we found out he wanted to know the Savior, so I introduced him to the Savior. Now, ask the Holy Spirit to help people like you enough to listen to the gospel. By the way, you don't ask him for them just to like you. Too many people want a friend, they don't want to give the gospel. You can be friendly and never see the person again. Let me say this and I'm done. God provided salvation for anyone who believes. God paid the price for salvation and gave us Jesus for it. But he placed on those of us who are saved the responsibility individually to get the gospel out every which way we can. He said, go ye. Go ye. He placed it on us. How could a God who loves people send anybody to hell? He didn't. We're sending them to hell by not taking the gospel to them. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. There ought to be compassion in soul winning. Yes, there should. You ought to be so in love with your God that it just overflows to people. But all that love in the world is worthless if you don't go tell somebody. Go ye. Who'd say somewhere, preacher, in that sermon that you preached, or Brother Josh, something, God's touching my heart tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens of hands. Thank you. You may put them down.